Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, the hidden homeless. Turns out they're the bulk of the homeless in Australia. It's not the rough sleepers, but those people that you might not know, see or think about. Or perhaps it is people that you know. We've heard some amazing stories about people sleeping on trains. A mother who watched over her kids as they slept on a train in the middle of the night and took them to school every day. Why? So that no one would know they were homeless and she wouldn't lose her children. Other amazing stories about people who sleep in cars. And last week we had a caller who rang in and said that had been her experience. A domestic violence incident had led to her being unable to find help. And unless you can find help in those early days and then go on to, with help, with care, with support, get away from a domestic violence situation, not return back to that same place, to find permanent accommodation, then yes, you may indeed move from being part of the hidden homeless to being part of the evident homeless. Now, there have been many attempts to solve this problem over the years, but there's one that I'm really excited about. When a friend of mine, Michelle Mulvihill, first came and told me about her new service, Dignity, a couple of years ago, I was really excited. And last week's story prompted me to go back and ask, how did that turn out? Well, it turns out that they're doing exceedingly well. Just 2 years in, they're now able to sleep more than 200 people a night, including families, in a model that is different from other models that exist around the place. It could well just be one of the most exciting social policy developments in a long time, especially in this homeless area. The name of the charity is Dignity, just 2 years old, as I say, and the CEO and co-founder of Dignity is Suzanne Hopman, and I caught up with her during the week.
It really addresses the immediate needs in that crisis space and looks at preventing homelessness from occurring in a very short period of time.
One of your co-founders, Michelle Mulvihill, described the philosophy as very simple. She said, look, it's a homeless problem. Our philosophy is housing first.
That's right. So the housing first principles of providing someone somewhere a safe place to stay as quickly as possible and then placing services in around that to support the success of being housed.
How is that different from what has been done in the past?
I think there tends to be a lot of focus on what we call rough sleepers, the people that the visible homeless that we see on the streets. The last census tells us that that's only 7% of homelessness. The other 93%, you wouldn't be able to tell who they were. They're not identifiable in any visible way. And so what we were seeing was that where a lot of supports and a lot of focus was being placed on that 7%. What if we work in that 93% of people who have no safe place to stay tonight in that crisis end, that very, very first time, then we actually can avoid them being those visible homeless and the rough sleepers.
So when you say the very first time, you mean like the woman who rang this program last week who was a domestic violence victim and with her kids, now she was sleeping in the car. And that first night, couldn't find any accommodation. Is that where you want to be right there helping her right in that moment?
Exactly right. It's not okay. Mm. It's not okay. When did we as a society say that it's okay for somebody to be homeless and sleeping in their car? It's just not. And so something needed to be done and we decided that, you know, the three of us, that it was no longer somebody else's responsibility, government, other large charities, that we needed to play in that space too and to really look at the ways of ending homelessness in Australia.
Traditionally you hear, well, there's just not enough stock. There are not enough places. There are not enough beds. Or we can put some people up for one night, but we can't provide a permanent home because there's not enough housing stock. Why did we get to that stage as a society, and what's the answer?
I think it's a very complex problem.
Yeah.
So which is why we say the housing first model, and whatever that looks like may not be the ideal home. It may not be in the ideal area, but it's a working towards, it's a keeping someone safe. So in New South Wales, we have what we call the Link to Home line, which is a New South Wales government funded line. So whenever someone becomes homeless, if they reach out and call that, then they are given immediate, in the case of domestic violence or other sense of homelessness, that first couple of nights. And when they're with us, then we look at, let's not wait for social housing. Let's not wait for those traditional models of care or refuge placement, but look at finding something in the private rental market. Look at creative ways of being able to say, where can you safely be, and working with the individual.
Why is that different from what's happening now?
So traditionally, people were placed in unsupported motels and, they're not very nice places, let's put it that way. Some of those, the accommodation is not always safe. If you're a mother leaving violence, and this may be your first experience of being homeless, and you've got the kids there in this, in a motel that's got, you know, the shaggy bedspread and the coloured carpet and a tiny room, and the kids are saying, I want to go home, Mum, and you don't know the area sometimes, maybe having people walk on the door or noises outside or just not feeling comfortable and safe, then you may decide that the best place is to return home in that situation at that time with what the knowledge that you have, and may cave in and go back. And we find with men, sometimes those places can feel so desperate. Imagine lying on a bed and looking up at these four walls and nobody there to support you or to help you. One or two nights. I mean, we've heard of people who've come to us and they said that if it hadn't been for us, they would have ended their life because they couldn't do another night like that in the motel.
Yes.
And so when they come to us, it's a very different experience. We open the doors, you know, warmly. They've got beautiful home-cooked meals by our volunteers. We made over 100,000 home-cooked meals this year. They've got beautiful, clean, fresh sheets, toiletries that have been put together with some other charities that we collaborate with. And then after a good night's sleep and a hot shower, things look very different the next day. And that's when our support workers really start to look at where they're at and where they can move forward. And it's an empowering model because we don't do it for them. We just provide information and advice and walk alongside and journey along with them to finding something more permanent really fast.
So it's a very loving model, fairly intensive, but provided by a small number of staff and a larger number of volunteers.
That's right. Yeah.
That's incredible. Our guest is Suzanne Hopman. She's the CEO and co-founder of Dignity. Dignity is only 2 years old, but the big news is that you're a finalist in the Telstra Small Business Awards in the charitable section. You've made a huge impact in a short space of time. Why do you think that is?
We have. When we look back to the first home that we opened two and a half years ago now, and so we opened it at just five bedrooms with our model. I guess it was a huge leap of faith in those early days. We had nothing, and started with I think we had $15,000 startup that we'd the directors and put together, and ready to go. And say we're here. Within that first night, we were full, and it's been able to. To grow as we've been able to raise funds from various ways, but we're not well known unless of course you're homeless, and then we may be more so if you've been through us. People definitely know Dignity.
How many houses are you operating now?
23.
That's extraordinary in 2 years.
Yes.
So how many beds is that?
I think we can accommodate up to 210 people every night.
Wow.
So men, women, children, families.
And what's the stay? What's the average stay?
We hope that people would be able to find something more permanent within 14 days. Sometimes that does take a little longer, and sometimes we are able, it may just be that someone needs a short-term helping hand to say, I've got family, I'm in New South Wales, I've got family in Queensland, I've been cut off from all funds, I don't have any money, I don't know how to do that. We say, well, let's not jump through so many hoops. That's really clear, quick solution to being somewhere stable and supported. So let's make it happen, and we do.
Most of us wouldn't have the first clue where to go if everything fell apart, wouldn't have the first clue how to address that problem. But you've got volunteers with experience who can say, okay, here are the contacts we need to call, let's get things moving. That's a wonderful model of walking with people. Dare I say, it's a very biblical sort of model, walking with people. It's wonderful.
It is. And whilst the majority of our support workers are actually paid, then because they're professionals with a lot of industry experience, our volunteers come along in the background, in the sidelines. So like we were saying, we receive approximately a ton of food a week from OzHarvest.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And all of that food comes in the raw ingredients, and our volunteers pick and pack a bit like MasterChef and take it home, cook those meals up, return them back to us, and then we distribute them out to our homes. That's just one way that volunteers do get involved and support what we do. We definitely couldn't do the amount of work and support of people experiencing homelessness without our fabulous volunteers.
Suzanne Hopman is with us from Dignity, one of the co-founders of that organisation. We're going to talk about your big dream in a moment, which you and Michelle Mulville, one of your co-founders, spoke to me about a couple of years ago, and I'm just blown away by what you've achieved since then. Before we do that, though, talk to me about the hidden homeless. It was you who told me the story that I had never heard before, and disappointed that I hadn't known about this, about people who live in trains. Living is probably not the right word.
No, I really think that if people understood the depth and the situations surrounding homelessness, and there is a lack of education around that, that their hearts would break. One of the story that I do remember sharing that with you, but there are hundreds of stories every day, and of the woman who came to us, and she had been hiding her homelessness because she was scared that the children would be taken away from her. So she was taking them to school in the day, and then going on the trains at night and travelling up and down on the trains, staying awake and alert to keep the children safe. They'd be going to bathrooms and disabled toilets to be able to shower and make themselves presentable, and washing the clothes in the sink and things like that to make sure that no one knew that she was homeless. And then she'd find a quiet corner in a McDonald's somewhere to be able to sleep during the day, so she was ready to pick up the kids in the afternoon. And this continued on for 6 months before she reached out for help. And she called and said, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, with it coming to us and just having that relief, that sigh of relief, hearing it from her, that there was someone there to walk alongside her. We stay in contact and into her new place. Kids are doing well. And just saying, I wish I'd reached out earlier for help.
Yes. Wow, to think that these people are in our communities, her kids were in a school, that they probably had friends who had no idea what was going on at home, and to imagine what the outcome for those kids would have been had Dignity not been able to help her at that moment, or even that you were there to reach out. And what about men? We often think about male homelessness as being rough sleepers, people under bridges, but tell me about what you're seeing.
It really is, and again, it's a misconception of what homelessness is. Last week we had a 90-year-old man come into us, and he had worked hard his whole life and owned his own home outright, and his wife had passed away a few years ago. His adult son had struggled and through a relationship breakdown as well, and wanted to start up his own business. So he got an extra loan on the house, lent it to the son, and 12 months later the son had lost all of the money.
Oh,
and he was evicted from the house. The son also wasn't able to cope with the stress, and he turned to drugs. So we had a 90-year-old man come to us, not in great health, but not enough for it to be hospitalised or to be in a nursing home. He just wanted to have a place to call his own. And having lost the home that he'd lived in all of that time and suddenly find it, if we hadn't have been there to be able to journey with him and he'd been in an unsupported motel on his own, you can only imagine how difficult that would have been for him.
Indeed. And all ages? Are you seeing all ages?
We are. So the youngest, we had a five-day-old newborn with us a month ago, and whilst we all loved the cuddles, it was very sad that she had given birth and taken the baby home, and her husband got very upset with the baby crying all the time and said, if you don't make that baby quiet, I will kill you both.
And we know that that actually happens.
Yeah.
And how did she get in touch with you?
Well, she came with absolutely nothing. She ran out of the house with the baby and, you know, with just what she was wearing and, you know, people don't come out with thinking about phone charger or thinking about anything else other than their safety. She had no doubt that he may have carried through with that, and as a new mother, you know, your first instinct is to hold that baby so tight and just to run. And she went to the police, and the police called Link to Home, who found her a place with us. And we were able to support her through that, of being able to find a place of her own and other supports and other agencies around her.
Oh, good stories. Suzanne Hopman, well, you've got a dream that I know about. You're making a big impact in the first 2 years of your operation. What I really like is the idea that you're driving towards a bigger vision, where not only are you providing homes for the homeless, you also provide them with something that will help them in future life, some training, some qualifications. Talk to me about this vision of yours.
Well, we have a lot of dreams, and it started with one small part of how we can help in the homelessness space. But we also recognise that there's what happens after you leave Dignity, and what happens in that next stage. Do people need retraining and employment opportunities, and in that stable accommodation? It has been a while since we've spoken, and I'm pleased to say that our first we're calling it Transition to Work Program employee is starting with us next week as a Dignity driver. And so it's about someone who's come out of homelessness into stable accommodation, doing really well, wants to be able to move forward in the next stage in re-employment. Had worked previously, but as we're finding a lot of the times, situations change in that he'd been a manual labourer, and at 50, it's not quite so easy to lug all those bricks. And so now the driving opportunity for him is something he's really looking forward to deliver our meals out to our houses and clothing packs that we have. Moving on from that, the bigger dream is that we would love to be able to one day open our own Dignity guest house, our own hotel chain.
Yes.
which would be a very unique model in that we would have people who've been through homelessness working there, and also living amongst people who would be paying customers like you or me. I'd love to say we would stay at a Dignity hotel one day. But we're still probably a fair way off this dream, and it's still a work in progress. But if you check back with me in about five or six years, I think we may be well underway.
Only five or six.
Well, the way Dignity moves, as you can see, from 1 to 23 in 2.5 years it shows our agility.
Yeah, and in this public policy space of social policy, to have these new models is really exciting. By that means, you're giving them, well, the very thing that your name says, dignity. It strikes me that it's really important that we all, who are God's image bearers, are afforded the dignity of being able to make a contribution to our community. And if that's looking after your own kids, well, that's the most important thing that will give you the dignity of being able to say, I'm doing what I'm called to do, looking after your kids, and then contributing to the society, having a good job, being reliable, being able to be someone who contributes to others around you, paying your taxes. This is about And I know when you and Michelle and Nicole got together, this was the word that was playing on your mind, dignity.
It really was. We tend to separate people who we don't necessarily like the image of into various areas or categories and try and find a way of stereotyping when there really is no stereotype to homelessness. It can happen to anyone. We've had CEOs of major corporations who've suddenly found themselves homeless and with us. But the majority of people, when they've left, ask how they can give back.
Yes.
How they can give back to others. And
yes.
And because I think when we give, we receive, but we also, when we want to give to others,
yes,
as
we
well.
Do. Pass it on.
And that's part of the dignity space too. It's not just the hand out. It's really just a walking along, journeying along and seeing where the next stage goes, where we can all give back. And they do. Yeah.
And people will say, well, that's great. I'm sure you're receiving a lot of government funding. Well, you get some funding on the nightly rate, as I understand it, because you're an alternative to those government emergency funds being used for a couple of nights motel accommodation. Well, that's great. That gives you an opportunity to be operating these houses. But the government's not giving you – the government isn't underwriting your charity.
No.
It's mums and dads. It's people with their hearts and sleeves just rolling them up and giving. Isn't it?
It definitely is. And being such an agile model, we can see the need and we can respond. I think sometimes governments and larger organisations can get so caught up in the red tape and the process and the talking. We're a real action. You know, we look at how we can maximise our efficiencies in. We don't have an office, a head office. We don't have an office space. We're virtually office-based, so that we don't have that.
Isn't the office your car, your home?
It's all of
your mobile phone?
Our team is spread from Port Macquarie down to Goulburn Nowra, and we all touch base with technologies. And we're actually developing a unique software ourselves to be able to dive into some of the information that we're learning and really look at ways we can be more efficient and more compassionate and more understanding of homelessness.
More compassionate hardly seems possible. Mm. What you're achieving is amazing, and I'm so thankful that you were able to come in tonight and tell us about that.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here and being able to share some of our work.
Suzanne Hopman, CEO and co-founder of Dignity. Isn't that a great story that just gives you hope about a new way, a better way of helping these people who are in immediate need? And the housing first principles, what a cracking great idea. Yep, your immediate need is housing. Let's get you into a house, give you a nice warm bed for the night, clean sheets, warm shower, home-cooked meal in the morning. Now let's start to work on the issues around you. And that's a model that could easily translate out of New South Wales into other parts of Australia. Suzanne tells me they're very happy to open other houses around Australia in partnership with others using their model, their Housing First model. And dignity.org.au is their website, dignity.org.au. On Facebook, you can find them there at Dignity Limited. Well, LTD for limited, at Dignity Limited, at Dignity LTD. We'll put those details on our own Facebook page. In fact, Annie has just done that. Thank you, Annie. You're way ahead of me, which is probably very good. Now, look, some other things to mention. If you are experiencing homelessness and you want to get in touch with Dignity, they actually want you to go through the government portal in New South Wales, which is the Link to Home portal. And there's a number for New South Wales, which is 1-800-152-152. This is Link to Home, the portal in New South Wales for homelessness, 1-800-152-152. Of course, there are similar portals, gateways in other states of Australia, and all of them can be found in a very helpful piece of information on the Homelessness Australia website. And if you are a person in a church or somewhere like that needs to assist people who are homeless, you don't know where to go, this is a good place to start. It's Homelessness Australia. They're on the web on homelessnessaustralia.org.au. And just below the fold on the front page, you'll find a button that says, "Are you experiencing homelessness?" And for each state of Australia, it has lots of resources, telephone numbers, other websites to get help immediately. There are women's refuges, there's services operated by the government or by the Salvation Army. There's the Link to Home link there for New South Wales and the similar services in other states. That is also on our Facebook page, the Open House Community Facebook page. And one final matter. You know, when I was chatting with Suzanne, I was saying, asking her about the support they receive. Well, they receive support from mums and dads, from small businesses, from just whomever. They are, of course, a deductible gift recipient charity, and you'll find the details of that on their own website, dignity.org.au. But here's an amazing opportunity. If you're a business or a person with the means to do so, for $30,000, you can actually sponsor an entire house for people who are homeless for a year. And Suzanne said you can call it what you like. You know, this is the house that Fred built or whatever you want to call it. But imagine sponsoring a whole house for homeless people and providing that warm bed, providing that link to assistance, providing that pathway to a better future. Imagine doing that. If you've got the means to do so, if you are a business that would like to contribute, $30,000 will do it. And Suzanne at Dignity would love to hear from you.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.